Let's go. Welcome to the Auburn Daily Show, Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com, also host of Locked On MLB Prospects. I am joined by Zach Blackerby, editor-in-chief, founder, creator, the boss of auburndaily.com, as well as the host of Locked On Auburn.
Yes.
And Zach, we have a date for A-Day.
Yes.
April 8th. Is A-Day this year. That is Easter weekend. That is Masters weekend for those of you who pay attention to such things. But now I think the anticipation is coming. Tomorrow's kind of seen as the last date for guys to enroll for the spring. Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting into that part of we're going to start getting actual guys on the field actually doing things. And for the most part, we pretty much have your spring roster now set.
Yeah, you certainly think so. And there's still a lot that could happen, but I'm not expecting that to be the case. And so this A-Day news was announced via Auburn football's official Twitter account. And they say A-Day is only 81 days away, but who's counting? We will all be counting every single day here across the Auburn Daily Show, as well as auburndaily.com. So yeah, a lot of excitement about this offseason for a bunch of different reasons, Lindsey. First off, it'll be fans' first opportunity to really kind of see what Hugh Freeze and this new coaching staff has to offer. Very basic, very vanilla versions of, you know, what his offense may look like, which is exciting. A lot of people are craving a new offensive system that just makes a little bit more sense in the modern era of college football. We'll get a taste of that this spring. And look, Hugh Freeze is a guy that he's into the fan service. Like, he understands that, you know, keeping your fans happy is important. So, you know, maybe they'll throw in a few trick plays just to kind of spice things up. We'll have to see. Lindsey, the other side of this is, okay, there's 12 portal guys coming in, and you know, you start 22 dudes, and I think you probably get 10 starters out of these transfer guys. And it's like, well, you know, you're going to have to get used to a lot of new numbers out there, a lot of new faces, a lot of new names, and A-Day is the first chance you really get to be able to do that.
That was actually where I wanted to go with this. You dropped a great piece on Sunday morning on AuburnDaily.com talking about the 12 transfers and trying to figure out, which guys will have an immediate impact and kind of ranking everything. And I thought some of these rankings were interesting because we see some situations where Auburn takes...
I mean, you disagreed with them? Does interesting in this case mean you disagreed with the rankings?
Maybe not necessarily disagreed, but I did kind of want to ask you some questions about some of these.
Yeah, let's jump into it.
Because I find it super interesting. So number 12, Maryland defensive lineman Mosiah Nasili-Kite. I think we kind of both agree he is part of the rotation. He's probably not a starter, probably a depth piece. But I found it interesting, number 11, you put wide receiver Nick Mardner. And somebody who 6'6", a lot of top end speed. And I know that there's a lot of talent in this room, a lot of untested talent in this room, but it feels like you're kind of missing your experienced number one receiver. And there's been some questions about, is Nick Mardner going to come in and be the number one because he's got the college experience and he physically fits what Hugh Freeze wants to do, a big body with good top end speed. So a little surprised by the number 11. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be as big of a factor as what we want him to be. And look, I think long-term that'll be good for Auburn, but I'm curious to see where he's going to line up. And I know Hugh Freeze is going to change things a little bit as far as how you slot receivers in at certain positions. But like, I think Camden Brown is better than him. I do think it's interesting when you look at Nick Marner's history with Marcus Davis, the new wide receivers coach for the Auburn Tigers, their history at Hawaii. But then he leaves Hawaii and goes to Cincinnati, and he was just okay. He was just okay, Lindsey. And look, I think his stat line in Cincinnati, I think he had like 20-ish catches for 200-something yards. I don't have that in front of me at the moment. But it's like, if he did that again at Auburn, like, I think that'd be okay. I think that'd be fine. But if he did that, he's probably the fifth, sixth, seventh option in this passing attack. And to me, that's kind of where he is on this list. I think he's going to be a player on this team. I think he's going to see the field. I think there'll be packages where Auburn wants to go big And hey, he may get a few targets, extra targets in the red zone. And he may end the season with 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. But I just think as far as impact, that's why I had him at the end there.
That makes a lot of sense when you kind of explain it. And some of the explanations here, Brian Batty at number 10. It makes a lot of sense to have him there. Auburn has a bunch of guys in the room with talent. And I think he's going to be a big factor on special teams. So fully understand that. Makes a lot of sense. Some interesting ones. DeMario Tolan at number 7. So the linebacker from LSU, a guy who's got multiple years of eligibility, we really think is going to come in and probably take one of the starting spots. Mm-hmm. And so for me, is this necessarily more about DeMario Tolan, or is this more about the state of the offensive line and the fact that you're going to have transfers out there starting day one?
Yeah, with the first three guys, the three offensive linemen. And so, you know, I think that's going to be more important. I did a podcast on this Locked On Auburn. I had Tolan higher when I did that show, but that was before Austin Keys announced that he was coming. Mm-hmm. And I think just when you add more guys of one position, with the exception of offensive line, because you play so many and there's just no dudes on the current roster. When you add more guys at a position group, I think it makes all of them a little bit less impactful, potentially impactful, just because there's more of them. And so, you know, I don't think you're going to necessarily come in and ask Tolan to be the guy day one, because I think you're going to ask Tolan, Keys, and Cam Riley to all be dudes. And so, that's why I slid him down to 7. Should he be a little bit higher? Probably. But that was my thought process when I wrote the story.
Yeah, I understand completely. And Elijah McAllister at number 6. To me, it feels like edge is one place where there are plenty of snaps available, because obviously you saw Derek Hall, you saw Eku Liota, both off to the NFL. Just saw a draft came out Tuesday morning that had Derek Hall at the back half of the second round to the Eagles. Thought that was interesting. Awesome. And then Marcus Bragg out of eligibility. And so far, the only experienced player you've added to that room is Elijah McAllister. And I agree with you, maybe having those three offensive linemen, 1 through 3, it's hard to really to argue against that, because you're going to need those guys. But to me, you lost a ton of snaps at edge. And I think Elijah McAllister is probably going to be somewhere around number 4 or number 5 as far as total impact, simply because there's just not a lot of other options. There's him, Dylan Brooks, and true freshman Keldrick Falk at the position.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they use him, because I think he could also play strong side defensive end if you need to, which I think hurts Nasili Kite, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. I think we've been saying it wrong. Okay. And so if Keldrick Falk just blows it out of the water, it's like, we've got to start this guy. Like, we've got to start him. He's special. And it's a third and long situation, and you want two pass rushers on the field. You know, maybe you put him or Brooks at edge, and you're able to scoot Elijah McAllister over to the side. So he's as high as he is on that list because I think he's a starter. Mm-hmm. And he may not be, like, technically a starter by the end of the year, but he's going to be a heavy rotational player on key downs, right? Third downs are more important than other downs. And so I think he's going to play a lot on third down, especially if they can force third and long consistently in the SEC this year. And so, yeah, I mean, he could be the guy right after the offensive lineman if you really wanted him to. He's a big deal. Big, big deal. But he's from Vandy, right? This kind of reminds me of when Auburn landed Eku Liota. Mm-hmm. It was just very, like, quiet, very under the radar. But you look up, you know, 6 or 7 games into his Auburn tenure, and it's like, this guy could play. This guy is awesome. And so, I think Elijah McAllister is going to be a big part of this defense this year.
Talking about a guy who's really talented, who really can play, and I think on third downs is going to be incredibly valuable, probably worth his weight in gold, is offensive tackle Gunnar Britton from Western Kentucky. You know, of the three linemen, we've got Avery Jones at 3 and Dylan Wade at 2. I agree that Gunnar Britton is probably the most valuable of all of the incoming transfers, because he started at such a high level and he's going to be at such a key position there at left tackle. I like the note you have that I think he could be Auburn's best tackle since Greg Robinson, who was I believe a top 10 draft pick in the NFL. Ended up,
I think he went second overall, third overall. Yeah.
Ended up being pretty successful eventually when they knocked him inside to guard, and he was a mauling run blocking guard. But right. Gunnar Britton, to me, does feel like he's just insanely talented. One of the best offensive linemen in college last year at any level.
Yeah, he's good.
And we've seen him in Jordan-Hare because Western Kentucky came to Auburn. And so very excited about having him. But I feel like 1-2-3 being Britton, Wade, and Jones is probably the right order for that. It's just it's going to make sure that you have the security that you need there on your offensive line and for your quarterback. And talking about security, this video is sponsored by our friends at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you can be exploited by hackers. And what NordVPN lets you do is connect to a virtual private network. You can change your IP address, makes you harder to track, secures your privacy. And if you are, let's say you are trying to stream video online, you're trying to transfer files, things like that, and you don't necessarily want everybody to be able to see what you're doing, whether it's your ISP, whoever it might be, NordVPN is one of those websites that can give you the security and the anonymity to do those things. So NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description today.
Absolutely, Lindsay. Great stuff. All right, let's talk a little baseball. You're our baseball guy. I'm wearing an Auburn baseball hoodie. We're not hiding the fact that we're excited about the season coming up. And I mean, really just a few weeks away if you want to count that high. So looking at this, looking at some of the rankings that have come out, preseason stuff, you know, Auburn and Omaha team from a year ago, not inside the top 10, Lindsay, your reaction when you got that information?
I was a little surprised that not only were they not in the top 10, they weren't in D1 baseball's top 25.
Gross.
You have 9 different SEC teams in the top 25, and one of the 4 SEC teams that went to Omaha is not in that group. And I, on paper, if you look at what Auburn lost, I can understand the reluctance to rank them that high. You lost 3/4 of your starting rotation to MLB in Trace Bright, Hayden Mullins, and Mason Barnett. You lost co-SEC Player of the Year, Sonny DeShera, as well as virtually your entire infield, minus Cole Foster. And so, you know, and your top 2 relievers in Blake Burkhalter, who some podcaster talked about just today about him being potentially the Atlanta Braves breakout prospect of 2023.
Was it you? And did you do that?
It was me. Yeah. Got it's going to be on auburndaily.com later. As well as, like, it's just you lost so much. So I get it. But you know that the players have seen that. They probably that's probably printed out on a bulletin board somewhere. Hey guys, we're not a top 25 team. And it's really interesting how the schedule breaks down as far as Auburn's playing 7 teams that are in the top 25 this season, and 5 of them are on the road. And it's just wild to me.
So at what point does Butch Thompson start getting respect? I mean, it seems like both he and the Auburn Tigers, they're always counted out, and then they always overachieve. And every year, the narrative's like, man, you know, these Auburn Tigers, they're really just overachieving. And at some point, it's like, no, I think you're just ranking them too low year after year.
Yeah, I mean, this is his 8th season at Auburn, and he's taken Auburn to Omaha, what, 3 times now in 8 years? Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's... I don't necessarily know what it's going to take other than doing it again. There is the timing of it. If you look at 2019, you have a great run. You lose 2020, and then you struggle in 2021. And so I think that caused a lot of people outside of the program, outside of the area, to think, well, Auburn got lucky in 2019. Mm-hmm. You take them back and you do it with a whole, essentially different team last year. And so if Auburn's able to host a regional again, I think that probably solidifies the opinion of outside people that said, no, Auburn's in a better class than we had given them credit for. And when you look at, like, D1 baseball ranked the top programs over the last 5 years or whatever, and they had Auburn as a top 25 program in the last 5 years or so, but not... It was something where they didn't have a long enough legacy of consistently doing this. And I think the schedule is going to be a bit tough as far as trying to win every series, because you have so many ranked opponents on the road.
Yeah.
But some of your hardest matchups will be at home. And I think it's actually, it, it'll work out okay.
Yeah, well, we were talking before we clicked record. I mean, the teams that Auburn has to play this year, and we say this every year, right? And every SEC team, as they do preseason stuff, they're probably focused on this too, right?
It just means more.
With college baseball, there's no question about it. And so looking at highlight maybe two home series and two away series that you're kind of saying, okay, you know, this is going to be huge when it comes down to, you know, Auburn's resume at the end of the season. Give us two of each, so four total.
Okay, so the first home series, and it's impossible not to kind of pick this as the first home series. Early May, you are hosting preseason number one LSU.
Yeah.
For three games. Getting LSU with it projected to have the number one overall draft pick this year in Dylan Cruz. It's big to get them at home because we know what this team does, obviously, when they are at home versus on the road. That just seems to be a different environment inside Plainsman Park. They were 25-9 at home last year. And so that is big. You also, on the road, I think there's an early test. Your first two conference matchups on the road at number eight Arkansas, and then home for Georgia, and then at number seven Florida. So in the first 3 weeks of SEC play, you take trips to two top 10 ranked teams. And I think after those two weekends, we're going to have a pretty good idea of where this Auburn team is competitively in the SEC. Florida has both some great outfielders led by Wyatt Langford, as well as some good pitching. They've brought in some transfer pitchers. So that should be a good matchup as far as Auburn's offense versus their pitching. And then Arkansas was just always full of dudes. Arkansas always has a lot of talent in the middle infield.
They're good.
And just kind of pesky. The other home series that I'm watching is number five, Texas A&M. I honestly kind of feel like it's a little bit of fraud, maybe. There probably should not be a top five team.
Okay.
But it is a day weekend. And so the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series feels like it's going to be very well attended.
Interesting.
And so you really have an opportunity to use, whether it's the general admission seats, whether it's Operation Atmosphere, you really have an opportunity to steal one away from a top five team because of the hostile environment you can create that weekend.
Sure.
Very excited to get into this actual schedule and just figure out some of these questions, like who is your number three starter and how do some of the freshmen come along, who wins the third base job.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of it. And look, we talk about it with football, but there's a lot of new faces on the baseball team as well. And in the coming weeks at auburndaily.com, you're going to do a little bit of a meet the newcomers with the pitchers, infield, outfield, because there's a long list at all three of those spots.
Yeah, Auburn brought in a fantastic class, as we've talked about before, top five class in the country, didn't lose a single player to the MLB draft, which is very rare. A lot of, you know, most teams, Vanderbilt's the big one, lose a lot of guys to MLB. So Auburn brought in a lot of it. You're looking at potentially having a true freshman start at third base in Gavin Miller, as well as two of your four or five candidates for that number three starting spot are freshmen in left-hand pitcher Zach Crotchfeldt, right-hand pitcher Hayden Murphy. So a lot of, you know, catcher Ike Irish, top 50 potential draft pick, comes to Auburn. Looks like he's going to be your starting DH. Led the team in home runs during the fall. So lots of spice space for the newcomers. We're going to write those up over the next probably 2 or 3 weeks at Auburn Daily as we just prepare and get closer and closer to that February 17th first pitch against Indiana in Plainsman Park.
Absolutely. Lindsay, you can find all of Lindsay's stuff at auburndaily.com, as well as all of my stuff at auburndaily.com. Tomorrow on the Auburn Daily Show, you will hear from Harrison and Dylan. Be sure to give them some love. And until then, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.